Hebrews 12, verse 28 says, we should serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. And a fear can be good or bad, depending on how we use it. All of us face fears. Sometimes our fears are exaggerated. Other times they're needed. Some people are so timid and fearful that they refuse to do even things that are useful and things that are important. When I lived at home with my parents, my sister, when she was a teenager, she had a driver's permit. She was learning how to drive. And one Sunday, I believe it was a Sunday morning, at least the family was all together in the car. We were driving. My sister was driving, and my dad, of course, because she had a permit, was sitting in the front seat by her. We lived way out in the country, about 10 miles out, and a winding country road to town. There was one spot where the road kind of went down a hill and around a curve and then up another hill, and right down at the bottom of the hill in the middle of that curve, it crossed a railroad track. And the railroad track, and this was a number of years ago, they didn't have the crossbars, they didn't have warning lights, and it's in this hill and this curve, so the people who knew about it would slow down and then look for the trains before they would start across the track. My sister was a new driver. The car had a stick shift with the clutch. And she started pulling around that curve, and just as she did, she realized a train was coming. And she panicked and killed the engine with a car right in the middle of the railroad track. I mean, we were straddling that railroad track, all of us sitting in the car. Well, I'm here to tell you about it so you can figure that when she panicked and couldn't get the car started, my dad pushed her out of the car, scooted over, started the car, and pulled us off the track. And actually, we had maybe a half minute, a minute to spare before the train got there. But the point of the story is, it scared my sister so bad she never ever drove again to the day she died. She would not try to drive a car ever again. Fear can paralyze us to where sometimes we don't even do the things that would be useful and beneficial to do. On the other hand, sometimes fear is useful. I told you about the time when I was 8 years old and almost drowned in a drainage ditch near our house. I'd been warned about it, but I didn't fear it enough. I guarantee you, I had plenty of fear and respect for that drainage ditch after I almost drowned in it. So fear can be beneficial or fear can be harmful, depending on what we fear and how we react to the fear and the circumstances under which we fear and so forth. What I want us to do in our study together this morning is I want us to study what the Bible says about the fear of God. This is a topic, one of the topics that the men have asked me to study and present. I've mentioned to you from time to time that the men in the men's meeting have been asking me to speak on certain topics. This is one that's been requested. And I hope that as we have studied it and can present some material that will be helpful to you, there are several things that we want to talk about in regard to the subject. We want to talk about, first of all, different kinds of fear. There's different kinds of fear of God. We want to talk about the effects that godly fear can have in our lives, and then some of the blessings and the benefits that can come to us if we have that proper fear. In what sense should you and I fear God, and how should that fear affect us in our lives? So let's study together this morning about fear and the fear of God. And first of all, we'll talk about two different kinds of fear. That is, the word fear, as it's used with regard to our fear of God, it's used in two different ways. They're different, but related. And sometimes difficult to know from a particular passage what aspect of fear is being discussed. But let's talk about these two kinds of fear and then learn some applications that we can make. First of all, there's what I would call fear in the sense of a dread or a terror. This is the kind of dread which a person is almost intimidated by God's power to punish, to such that a person even shrinks from God, doesn't want to be around God, hides from God, isn't willing even to be in God's presence because they're so fearful of God's wrath, God's vengeance. Now this kind of fear can actually be bad in a sense, and then it makes some people want to avoid God because of their sense of guilt, their maybe just misunderstanding of God, what they think about God. But there are Bible examples of it. We think about Adam and Eve in the garden in Genesis chapter 3. After they committed their sin, they hid themselves when God came to walk in the garden because they were guilty. They hid themselves because they... And Adam said, I was afraid. And so I hid myself. Now, they hadn't felt that way before, the sin. Prior to that, they hadn't felt the need to avoid the presence of God. But now, with their sense of guilt, they were afraid of God in the sense they didn't even want to be around God. Look at Matthew chapter 17, verses 5 through 7, and we find that Jesus' miracles sometimes affected people in that way. Matthew 17, verses 5 through 7, in the story of the Transfiguration, says, while he was still speaking, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and suddenly a voice came out of the cloud saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear him. When the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were greatly afraid. But Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and do not be afraid. So here Jesus, the disciples here had a fear, which Jesus said and told them they didn't need to have. Jesus had been transfigured. His appearance had changed. The Father spoke from heaven. They heard this awesome voice. And they were so afraid that Jesus encouraged them that they didn't need to be that fearful. And sometimes that was the effect that Jesus' miracles had on some people because they didn't understand the purpose of the miracles. They saw this incredible power and they didn't even want to be around Jesus. Sometimes they would tell him to leave their city or their area. Well, that wasn't the proper reaction. The point of the miracles was not to make people afraid to be in Jesus' presence, but to help them to see the power that he had to prove that he really was the Son of God, that his claims were true. So sometimes fear in the sense of terror or dread is counterproductive. James chapter 2 and verse 19 says, the demons believe in God and they tremble. They're afraid of God, but it's not a beneficial fear because they don't do anything about it. They don't change their life, and really they don't want to be around God. They don't obey. And so this is an unnecessary fear. It's a fear that can be eliminated if we would serve God and be forgiven of our sins so that we don't need to run or hide from God. But while on the one hand, this kind of fear is unnecessary and so is counterproductive, on the other hand, there's a benefit in it if we will allow it to motivate us to change, to repent and serve God so we can avoid the punishment. And the Bible often uses this dread of punishment from God and the fear of his wrath as that kind of motivation. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verses 10 and 11. Deuteronomy chapter 13 and verses 10 and 11. It's talking about someone who would encourage other people to practice idolatry. He says, you shall stone him with stones until he dies, because he sought to entice you away from the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. So all Israel will hear and fear, and not again do such wickedness as this among you. So you see here, when sin was punished according to the law, this would lead other people to have a sense of fear that this is the kind of thing that can happen. This punishment could come upon them if they practice that, and so they know not to do that. And there's lots of other scriptures that make that point, even into the New Testament. For example, in Acts chapter 5, verse 5 and verse 11, when Ananias and Sapphira were slain by God for their lie, the Bible says fear came upon the whole church and fear came upon everybody who heard. And yet it was not a fear that would lead people not to serve God. If you continue to read, you see that the church grew following it. So the fear of the punishment, the recognition of the wrath of God to punish sin, in this case, was a good lesson to other people, to motivate them to want to serve God. 1 Timothy 5 and verse 20 says that sinners should be rebuked in the presence of all so that the rest will also fear. And so seeing the consequences of sin can and ought to produce fear, but it ought, then also that fear should motivate us to be willing to live in such a way that we don't that we can avoid those consequences. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 30 and 31. God has proved his willingness to punish those who persist in sin, even members of the church. We talked about this last Sunday morning, and by the way, I should add that tonight is when I intend to continue and conclude that series on Once Saved, Always Saved. We'll conclude that, Lord willing, tonight. But we were talking last week about that God would punish even members of His church who fall away. And then it says it's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And so knowing that God is a God who will punish should motivate us to realize that we can fall away and that we should serve faithfully so that we don't fall away. So Philippians 2 verse 12, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. There's a sense in which we understand that this is an awesome responsibility to serve God, and that if we don't serve Him with proper faithfulness, that we can be lost. So the last scripture that I want to use on this particular section, look in Luke chapter 12 and verses 4 and 5. Luke 12, verses 4 and 5. I say to you, my friends, do not be afraid of those who kill the body. After that, they have no more that they can do. But I will show you whom you should fear. Fear him who, after he is killed, has power to cast into hell. Yes, I say to you, fear him. All right, so here's this sense of fear in the sense of dread of punishment. A fear in the sense that we want to avoid God's wrath. But that fear can actually work for our good, I say, if we use it to motivate us to serve God. My earthly father was a firm disciplinarian. He was a strict man. And I'll never forget some of the punishments that he gave. But when I knew I'd been obedient and hadn't done anything wrong, I wasn't afraid to be in his presence. I didn't run and hide whenever my dad came into the room when I knew I'd been doing what was right. I wanted to be around my dad. And I appreciated being with him and learning from him and so forth. But the fear that I had was a healthy fear that if I did wrong, I knew the punishment that would come. So it became a motivation to do what's right. And the same thing ought to be true of our of this kind of fear that we're talking about, this terror or dread. We don't need to run and hide from God if we've been serving Him faithfully. We don't need to dread to ever be in His presence. We should want to be in His presence in eternity to enjoy the privilege of worship and honor and just the blessing of being with this great God that we've been serving for all these years. But we still need to have, in the same sense, this healthy dread that leads us to not want to disobey because we know the consequences. We know that, in fact, there is wrath, there is punishment. And it ought to motivate. If it's not proper, I say, to use that as a motivation for us to serve God, knowing that the wrath and punishment that comes if we disobey, if that's not a proper fear, why does the Bible continually warn us against the danger of suffering and punishment? So the question with regard to this first kind of fear, this dread, the question is, do you fear God because you know you've done wrong? And you haven't been forgiven? Do you have that dread that you don't even want to be around God or around, maybe even around God's people because of this dread? Or do you allow that fear of His wrath and punishment to motivate you to serve Him faithfully? But that's the first kind of fear. But there's another kind of fear the Bible talks about, which is sort of in a sense a higher sense of fear, a more wholesome fear, that I want to talk about this morning. And this kind of fear involves fear in the sense of a reverence or an awe for the overwhelming greatness of God. That His nature, His authority is so great that we have this, some people call it a respect, and yet that word almost to me is inadequate. Reverence and awe. It's what the Bible will read a number of passages calls godly fear. This fear is always good. In the sense that it leads us to express our respect by serving Him. It can actually lead to a sense of boldness, not that we lose the awe or the trembling of God's greatness, but that we wish to express our service to Him. We wish to be in His presence. So we fear Him in the sense of a wholesome awe and reverence, but we want to be with Him, we want to give Him glory, we want to serve Him, and we want to show our appreciation because He is such an awesome and great God. Let's talk about what this kind of fear involves and a number of passages that can help us. First of all, there's all kinds of Bible examples, just far more than we can talk about, of people in the Bible who had this kind of fear of God. The Bible said that they served God with fear. Noah, Hebrews 11 verse 7 says he was moved by godly fear to prepare that ark to the saving of his household. Godly fear. Abraham feared God, Genesis 22. Jacob and Joseph, his descendants, they feared God. Moses, Exodus chapter 3 and verse 6. Job, remember the study of Job, chapter 1 and verse 8, and we're told that he was an upright man who feared God always and shunned evil. Okay, well, so Job, Hezekiah, Jeremiah chapter 26 and verse 19, Jesus, Hebrews chapter 5 and verse 7, said he was heard for his godly fear as he prayed in the garden. So, all of these people, and many others we could talk about, demonstrate this kind of a wholesome, godly fear. This awesome respect for God. Now this fear then, that so many of these people demonstrated, is based on this awe or this reverence for the greatness of God. Look in Psalm 33, verse 8 and 9 with me please. Psalm 33, and many of the Psalms talk about fear in this sense. Psalm 33, verse 8 and verse 9. That all the earth fear the Lord, that all the inhabitants of the world stand in awe of him. See that? Fear him, stand in awe. For he spoke, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast, talking about the creation. One of the reasons why we should fear God, we should stand in this great awe of him, is the world that he made. The fact that he simply spoke. And in 6 days, all these things that we see around us in nature came into existence by his power. That should lead us to have this awe, this reverence of him. Chapter 86, rather, verse 89, verse 6 through 9. Again, talks about how God is so great. Nobody can be compared to God. He is greatly to be feared, the passage says, by saints, and held in reverence by those around him. And so you see, so Psalm 33 says the fear involves awe. Psalm 89, the fear involves reverence. That's why I call it a fear of reverence and awe, because these passages describe it like that. Or look in Revelation chapter 15, verse 3 and 4, and the fear of God that's even in heaven. Revelation 15, verse 3 and 4. Talking about those around the throne. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, the song of the Lamb, saying, great and marvelous are your works, Lord God Almighty. Just and true are your ways, O King of the saints. Who shall not fear you? O Lord, and glorify your name. For you alone are holy. For all nations shall come and worship before you. For your judgments have been manifested. See that? Who wouldn't fear a God like that? If they really believed and understood, who wouldn't? That's what it says. He's so great, and his works are so great, so marvelous. He is so powerful, almighty. He is just. He is true. All nations should come and worship him because he's holy. His judgment are manifest. And so, who wouldn't fear a God like that? We all ought to. That's the point. Everybody should have this awe, this fear, this respect of God. And we'll look at a number of other verses as we go along that talk about it. But I think the point is just that he is so incredibly great. That we don't even want to be around him. We do want to be around him. We do want to worship as these in Revelation and express our respect and worship. But it's an awe that God is so great. And I try to think maybe in a much lesser scale. Karen and I a couple times have visited Niagara Falls. And I'm sure you've seen that or something else like that, visiting the ocean maybe, or the Grand Canyon, or someplace like that, and you just stand in awe that it is so amazing. And it isn't that you don't want to be around. You want to be there. You want to observe it. Yet at the same time, you recognize there's some danger. You don't want to fall over into the Grand Canyon or over into the Niagara Falls or whatever. So there's this awesome power and this greatness, and so there's a respect, but it doesn't keep you from wanting to go there. You want to go there and see it. At the same time, you recognize that there's danger. You have to be careful. And that seems to me to be the idea of, to some extent, on a much, much grander scale, the fear of God. Not that we are afraid to even be around him. We want to be there in heaven to praise him and honor him. But at the same time, we recognize there's danger. We don't want to do anything that's going to offend him, that's going to lead him to to punish us. So there's this great power, this great authority that we want to please Him. We want to serve Him and be among His people. Now this fear that we're talking about, well, it's easy, I think, to think of fear as something bad. We don't like to be afraid. But this fear is not only something good, it's essential. We cannot please God without the kind of fear we're talking about this morning. And as I was studying this lesson, preparing it, one question I asked myself was this fear that we're talking about, was that just an Old Testament concept that, they were afraid of God? But in the New Testament, we shouldn't be afraid of God? So that's a question I ask myself. Is this a New Testament concept or just an Old Testament concept? And it is a New Testament concept. We've got it in the Old Testament, Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And lots of Old Testament passages, as we've talked about, and many, many more that we could talk about. But it's a New Testament concept too. Look in Acts chapter 10, verse 34 and 35. Acts chapter 10, verse 34 and 35. When Peter went to preach to Cornelius and his household, he said, verse 34, Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears Him and works righteousness is accepted by Him." You want to be accepted by God? You must fear Him enough to do what He tells you to do. So this godly fear that we're talking about is a New Testament concept, even essential to our salvation. To be accepted by Him, we must have a godly fear. Look at 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 1. "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." So we need to be holy. We need to cleanse our filthiness of flesh and spirit, cleanse ourselves, be holy in the fear of God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28. Hebrews 12, verse 28. "Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." And then finally, 1 Peter 1 and verse 17. "Conduct yourselves throughout the time of your sojourning here in fear." And again, we can list a whole lot more, and we will as we go through the study talk about some others. So this godly reverence and this awe that we should hold for God is a New Testament concept. Everybody, to be pleasing to God, must have this sense of overwhelming respect that God is so great. Now, what will this do in our lives if we have this fear of God, that we just stand in awe that He is so great? What does this do in our lives? Let's look at some of the benefits of the fact. Just like the Bible teaching, we talked about love. And one of the subjects that men had wanted me to present, and one of the points that we made is, love always has an application. That there's always a bottom line in our lives if we love God. The same thing's true of faith, and we've made that point time and time again. True saving faith is always an obedient faith, and always leads to certain kinds of conduct. Same thing is true with regard to godly fear. It isn't just something in your heart and that's all there is to it. It must show in your life. If it's a true godly fear, it will show in your life. First of all, it will show with obedience. Just like love and faith, when you really have this awe for God, you will do what He tells you to do. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 5. And let's look at some general passages, first of all, that make the point. Deuteronomy chapter 5, back in the Old Testament. There's a number of other scriptures in Deuteronomy just about like this one, but we'll read this one, Deuteronomy 5 and verse 9, 29 rather, chapter 5, verse 29. "Oh, that they had such a heart in them that they would fear Me and always keep all My commandments, that it might be well with them and with their children forever." That's what God said about the people of Israel. Oh, that they would have such a heart, such an attitude to fear Me and always keep My commandments and teach their children to always keep My commandments. And you can go on the other references there, chapter 6, verse 24, chapter 10, verse 12. The same idea is expressed that God gives us these commands for our good. It's for our well-being. But if we respect Him and have this reverence for Him, we will obey. We will do what He tells us to do. And it will be well with us as a result. Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13, fear God and keep His commandments. See that? The two go together, just like with saving faith and true love. If you love me, you'll keep my commandments. If you fear me, you'll keep my commandments. Fear God and keep His commandments. Acts 10 verse 35, we've been earlier, he who fears God and works righteousness is accepted to Him, by Him. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 1, cleanse yourselves from all defilement of flesh and spirit in the fear of God. You see, we read that earlier. Same concept. And then Hebrews 12, 28, we read, serve God with reverence and godly fear. So the attitude of true awe and respect for God, when you and I truly understand who God is, of course that means we should serve such a great God. And there's a number of specifics that I'm just going to list that are tied to the fear of God. If we truly have the proper fear of God, here's some specific things the Bible says that we ought to do. Leviticus 25 verse 17, don't oppress one another, but fear God. See that? If you're going to fear God, treat other people right. Joshua 24 verse 14, if you fear the Lord, then you put away false gods. You see, you're not going to worship some other god if you truly fear the true God. Malachi 3 and verse 5, those who fear God, I should say those who do not fear God, including, you list a number of sins that includes sorcerers, adulterers, perjurers, and so forth. People who practice those things are people that don't fear God. Why? Well, because if they feared God, they would know better. They would know better than to live in idolatry, or adultery, or in sorcery, and so forth. They wouldn't do those things if they really feared God. Okay? And then Ephesians 5 verse 21, submit to one another in the fear of God. Back to the adult class this morning. Submitting to one another. Why? Because we fear God. Not just because of our respect for one another. That's important. But ultimately it's because of our respect for God that we treat one another the way that we should. Colossians 3:22, servants obey their masters in sincerity, fearing God. Why should you act right on your job? Not just because you respect your boss, but because you respect God. Even if your boss is not a respectable person, even if he doesn't act right, you should still obey because you fear God. You see? And then 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15, give answer to those who ask about our hope with meekness and fear. Why should we stand for the truth of the gospel? Why should we speak to other people about the gospel of Jesus Christ? Because of our respect for God. You see, it's because of our concern for their souls, but it's also because of our concern for God. When we really reverence God with this awe, and we really truly realize His power, His authority, then of course we should obey Him. That's the lesson that in our Wednesday night class. That's what God's teaching Job. All this discussion that we've been going through the last few Wednesday nights about creation and the earth and the seas and the weather and the lightning and all these things, and then the animals. And God is saying, can you do that, Job? Did you make these things? Are you in control? What's the point of all that? The point is to teach Job that his fear of God should teach him, don't question God. Don't argue with God. Don't contradict God. Don't accuse God of doing wrong. You see, do what he says. Just do what he says, because he is God. When you and I understand with this true awe who God is, then we know we need to obey. There shouldn't be a question about it. Of course we should obey. So the question then is, are we doing that? Do we demonstrate in our lives that godly, awesome reverence that leads us to do what God says without doubting, without questioning what he says? Just if he says it, we'll do it because he's God. And then not only does that this godly fear leads us to obey, it leads us to want to worship and praise God. Of course. Of course. If he is this great God, this awesome God that deserves our reverence, then we ought to show that in our worship. Look in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 23 to 27. 1 Chronicles chapter 16 and verse 23. Beginning. Sing to the Lord, all the earth. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is also to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the peoples are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Honor and majesty are before Him. Strength and gladness are in His praise. See that? God, the God of the Bible, the true God, He deserves to be feared. And if He does, we will praise Him. We will declare His glory. We'll tell other people. We'll proclaim the good news of His salvation. We'll sing to Him. Honor and majesty before Him. He is such a great God that, of course, we should worship Him. We should praise Him. We should talk to other people about how great He is. That's what we're doing this morning. That's the point of this lesson. God is so great that, of course, we should talk about how great He is. And we should want to be Him, to be here to praise Him. No idol, no false god deserves that kind of thing. Because they don't have that power. You see, they didn't create. They don't deserve our worship because they don't do the kinds of things that God has done. So Revelation 14 and verse 7, Revelation 15, verses 3 and 4 we read earlier, we give glory to God, we worship Him who made heaven and the earth, because we fear Him. His works are so great, so marvelous. His ways are just and true, remember, and so on from Revelation 15. Who would not fear such a God and glorify His name? When you and I do not appreciate opportunities to worship God, when the church is meeting together in particular to praise this great, awesome God, if we don't have the desire to be here, if we'd rather be doing something else rather than come, and I'm not just talking Sunday morning, I'm talking Wednesday night, I'm talking Sunday evening, talking Bible classes, when we are here, we are learning about this great God. If we have the opportunity, and we don't want to be here, what needs to change in our lives? Well, one thing we need is we need a greater godly fear. We need a greater reverence, a greater awe of this God. When we really appreciate how great He is, then of course we should worship Him. So the question here then is, do we have that awe, that respect for God that leads us to eagerly appreciate opportunities to come and tell Him and tell other people how great we know that He really is? And then we ought to oppose evil. If we really respect and honor God, not only do we want to do His will, but we're going to object to and oppose anything that would contradict His will, or that would fail to do what He wants us to do with our lives. Remember Job chapter 1 and verse 1, verse 8 and so forth. Job feared God and shunned evil. He not only did what was right, he shunned evil. He objected to it. Why? Because he feared God. Proverbs 3 and verse 7, fear the Lord and depart from evil. And then Proverbs 8 and verse 13 in particular, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. When you and I really, truly have that awesome respect for God, it's not just that, okay, I won't do these wrong things. I hate it. I object to it. And I will speak out against it to encourage other people, because evil disrespects God. It shows a lack of awesome reverence for our God. Far too many people think they can honor God by just saying polite things about Him, professing to love Him. Or they may think, well, worshiping Him without showing much respect for how they worship, according to the Bible. Oh, I worship God. Do you worship according to the Bible? Do you worship according to what He says? Well, I'm a member of a church. Does the church follow what God says? Well, I believe in being saved. Have you done it the way that God says in His Word? You see, the person who truly has this godly fear would never think about changing God's will. Never think about trying to do it a different way from what God said. In fact, he will speak out against everything that's different from God's will because of his respect for God. Whether it's in our own lives or in the church or in the society around us, when we see people doing things different from what God says, then this godly reverence and awe for God should lead us to say, that's not right. That's not being respectful to our Creator. When we really reverence God, when we have this real God, God is in charge. And we know that. And we're not going to do anything different from what the Creator, the all-powerful ruler of the universe, wants us to do. We'll not oppose His will. We'll not doubt His will. We'll not change what He teaches. We will submit. We will worship. And we will oppose anything that people want to do that's different from what He says in His Word. Well, what are the blessings of this? If we truly serve God with this godly fear, what benefits, what rewards will come to our lives? The Bible clearly says that God does give rewards to those who fear Him. Look at Psalm 31 and verse 19. Psalm 31 and verse 19. Oh, how great is your goodness which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you in the presence of the sons of men. So God's great goodness, the passage says, is for those who fear Him. God has many blessings, many good gifts for those who fear Him enough to serve Him. Psalm 115 verse 13, He will bless those who fear Him, small and great. Revelation 11 verse 18, He will reward those who fear His name. So God has rewards, He has blessings, good gifts for those who show this awe, this reverence for Him that we've been talking about. What are some of those blessings? Well, let's look briefly at just a few of the specific blessings He's promised to those who serve Him. One of them is salvation. The scripture reading this morning, Psalm 103, that lengthy description of God's greatness and how that we ought to bless Him and praise Him and worship Him and so on. But in the midst of that, He says He will remove their transgressions from them as far as the east from the west. That's one of God's blessings for those who truly fear Him. He forgives us. He saves us from our sins. Look at Psalm 145, verse 18 and 19. Psalm 145. Verse 18 and 19. The Lord is near to all who call upon Him, to all who call upon Him in truth. He will fulfill the desire of those who fear Him. He will also hear their cry and save them. God is there for His people. He wants His people to be saved from sin and whatever would hinder our service to God. He is there to save us. Luke 1 and verse 50, as Mary was praising God, when after she realized that God was going to cause Jesus to be born through her, she said, His mercy is on those who fear Him. God's mercy, God's grace, His favor is upon those who fear Him. We have learned that if we fear Him, we'll do what He says. And specifically, if we fear Him, we will do what He tells us to do to be saved. Our respect, our reverence for Him will lead us to of course, here's what He says to do to be forgiven. I want to be right with this God. I want to be forgiven. So I'm going to do what He tells me to do. And He has promised then, if we will do that in godly respect and fear, He will forgive our sins. Do you fear God enough to do what He says to be forgiven, to be saved from your sins? Another blessing that comes from fearing God is wisdom. Psalm 111, verse 1, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And the Proverbs say that again and again. Chapter 15, verse 3, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom. All around us in our society are these wise, respected men, these educators, philosophers, and so forth, respected supposedly by society for their wisdom. Yet, generally speaking, they don't fear God. They don't respect God. Did you hear in the news right here at the University of Illinois this past week? They fired a professor for teaching even close to what the Bible says about homosexuality. He's out of there. This is supposedly an institution that presents wisdom, that educates children, young people, in wisdom. They don't have enough godly fear to respect what he says about basic moral issues. True fear of God is foundational to true wisdom. And then God says that He will give help and protection to those who fear Him. Psalm 115 and verse 11. Psalm 115 and verse 11. You who fear the Lord, trust in the Lord. He is their help and their shield. Ecclesiastes 8, 12 and 13. It will be well with those who fear God, but it will not be well with the wicked. who do not fear God. And Proverbs 14 and verse 26, in the fear of the Lord is strong confidence. His children will have a place of refuge. God isn't saying that he will protect us to the point we never have any problems. That isn't the point. We know from many studies, Job and other things, that people who serve God do have problems. But what God is saying is he will be there to protect us from Satan, from those things that would cause us to be lost. If we will fear him, if we truly, awesomely respect him and reverence him, he will be there for us, that the great calamities that come upon those who sin and don't serve God can be avoided by his people. Do we have the godly fear that leads us to serve him so that we can avoid the problems of life? And then one last point as we conclude the lesson. Everybody needs this godly fear, but we can learn it. If I don't have it, I can learn it. And I learn it through study of his word. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 10. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse 10, as God was speaking to the people of Israel, and he makes this statement, Deuteronomy 4 and verse 10. Especially concerning the day you stood before the Lord your God in Horeb, when the Lord said to me, gather the people to me, and I will let them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days they live on the earth, and that they may teach their children. That's what you and I need to do. We need to learn to fear God and then teach it to our children. In Proverbs, or Psalm chapter 34, verse 11, come you children, listen to me, I will teach you the fear of the Lord. You and I need to learn to love and fear God, and we need to teach it to our children, so they also will learn to fear God. We can't be saved without it, but fortunately, we can learn it. And we do this by studying the Word of God, by then obeying and serving Him, worshiping Him, and opposing what's evil. If we do that, then we have the blessings, the hope that God has promised. The question then for you and me is, do we have that? Do we have this reverence, this godly awe and fear of God? If so, then we'll respond. Won't we? We'll be forgiven of our sins. We'll do what he says to be forgiven and become children of God. Have you done that? If you haven't done it, why not do it this morning? And then we'll follow through with this life of faithful service, of worship and obedience and service to God. Are you doing that? If you're not a Christian, why not become one this morning? Or you need to correct some other thing in your life that you need our prayers for, whatever you need, won't you come and make it known as we stand and while we sing.